Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Welcome back. Dr. Michael Jones sponsors this segment for all of your eye care needs. See Dr. Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, practices on both sides of the river. 855-260-260-EYES. 260-EYES. He is a specialist in that LASIK surgery. Get those eyes fixed forever. Tell them I sent you. 855-260-EYES, Dr. Michael Jones.
And be prepared tomorrow for the calls to Channel 5, Channel 4, Channel 2, 590. Everyone say, where's the Cardinal game? It's the YouTube game. Wow. Tomorrow the game can be found on YouTube. Jason Marquis, part of the broadcast.
Who we're actually trying to book for tomorrow.
Former Cardinal. Looks like he's ready for the PGA Tour.
190 pounds as opposed to 210 when he pitched.
Cards on YouTube tomorrow. So if you can't see it, maybe that's a good thing. Let's talk more about who could be in the pipeline, who's on their way. Nate Lucas from 98.7. No, Jock 98.7. I want to keep flipping it. Jock 98.7. It's Nate Lucas. He is part of the Springfield Cardinals broadcast team. St. Louis guy. Used to work in the Cardinals radio booth. He and Mike Shannon are tight. They trade racing tips every day, and he joins us now. Nate, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine. How's everybody in Springfield?
Well, I wish I could tell you. I'm actually on a little golfing vacation in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So I've bailed on Springfield for a few days. You got to get out of that town every once in a while or they'll kick you out.
Frank, we should be doing AA minor league radio. We'd be on golf trip right now instead of sitting here.
Nice.
Tell us a little about Randy Arozarena, who's now in Memphis, but you saw him come through Springfield. For people listening that are Cardinal fans, they've heard this name. They've looked at the numbers. Give us an idea about his game.
Well, he's very exciting. I mean, first and foremost, he's a very dynamic player. You know, his speed is certainly something that I think this current Cardinals team is lacking, especially at the top of the lineup. And he can do a little bit of everything. I mean, he hits for power, he hits doubles, he finds a way to get on base. I think there's still, at least the last time I saw him, I think there was a concern with some of his approach in terms of, you know, he'd go one game where he'd go 5 for 5 and almost hit for the cycle. And then the next day he'd come out and he'd go 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts. And I think some of that is probably just an immature approach at the plate. But, I mean, look at what he's doing in Memphis. I don't know how immature something is when through 50-plus games the guy's hitting close to 400. So you hope that maybe that approach is something that can stick and maybe he's turned the corner. But he by far is one of the most exciting players that has ever passed through Springfield. There's no question.
What do you think Dylan Carlson is in terms of being a complete player in what you've seen since you've been in Springfield?
So we've had this debate in the office quite a bit with guys who have been there. I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Scott Smolzinski, but he's been with the team for 15 seasons down there. So, I mean, he just is in like his 35th season now with the Cardinals organization. And when we talk about Dylan Carlson, there's a debate about whether or not Dylan Carlson might be the best player that's ever come through Springfield. And you just look at the way this kid carries himself. I mean, you know, even in big league camp, if you guys had a chance to interact with him, he's so humble. I mean, he comes from a family in which his dad has a prolific school that he taught high school baseball in, and they've produced a number of Major League Baseball caliber players. And his dad, Jeff, is still heavily involved in Dylan's development, I think, just from a mental side. He probably knows his swing better than anybody in the organization. But Dylan, I mean, you watch this kid play. I mean, he's a switch-hitting 20-year-old outfielder that leads the Texas League in home runs. He runs fast. I think they've played him in center field, even though he probably projects more as a right fielder in the big leagues. But this is a guy who, when you start looking at trades, okay, that didn't get made at the deadline, and you're looking at guys that potentially the Cardinals could have acquired for Dylan Carlson. Well, let me tell you, last night when I saw Cody Bellinger lift off a 3-run bomb, all I could think to myself was, thank God the Cardinals didn't trade this kid for some mediocre fourth, fifth pitcher in the rotation. I mean, I know last night was a disaster with Waka, But the idea of trading Dylan Carlson for a guy who's going to give you 10 or 11 starts, I could not agree with Mozeliak any more than what he said. It just isn't worth it. This kid's going to be a big league talent, and it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, and I think people would agree with that sentiment on the whole. I think the complaint was when they say Bader and O'Neill weren't available either. Then that's some of the added frustration from the deadline. Is Dylan Carlson a guy you could see at the major league level next year?
I think he's going to give a run for, you know, he'll certainly give it a run for his money. I mean, even, you know, he came over and did a little post-game show that I do down there at a local establishment, Falstaff's, and he told me after the show, he just sat there and talked baseball. Most of them run off and want to hit the bars and, you know, catch the women, but he sat there and he talked baseball for like a good 30, 45 minutes, and, you know, he told me that he has his eyes set on September in some capacity, this September. So his mind is geared towards getting to the big leagues. And in some of the discussions in years past that I've had with players that have passed through, I mean, one that comes to mind would be Paul DeJong. Anytime you asked him about anything going on in the Springfield area, you know, his game at Springfield, he would constantly refer back to St. Louis and what he needed to do to get to St. Louis. And I think when those guys have a big league mindset of getting to St. Louis, well, more times than not, it usually happens for them.
Is there an arm in Springfield that could possibly get to the big leagues? Or who has the best chance?
Oh, my. It's been a struggle. At the beginning of the year, Frank, I would have told you Evan Krasinski. He's a big, tall left-hander that the Cardinals drafted a couple of years ago, but he has been just sort of whacked. His numbers are out of sync. He's getting hit hard. But, I mean, last night, for example, in Tulsa, he strikes out 10 over six innings, and he's a left-hander. But he's getting hit. You know, that's kind of the problem, and it's usually been one bad inning for Krasinski. I still think Krasinski's got a shot to make it. Last year he was so good. One thing that's nice about Krasinski is he's able to attack right-handers down and in. And for a left-handed starter, I think that's pretty impressive. But right now, I mean, I don't know. The pitching is a little bit thin. In fact, a guy just moved in to the MLB pipeline. You know, they constantly update that top 30 list. And Tommy Parsons, out of Adrian College in Michigan, he grew up in Columbus, Ohio. He was undrafted. It's a D3 school. And he is your 22nd best top pitching prospect right now. And I like Tommy. I mean, the guy throws strikes. But in terms of just getting hit, he has surrendered more than 20 home runs in roughly 8 or 9 double-A starts. So I don't really know if there's a guy right now at double-A that, you know, you're screaming to reach the big leagues. I don't think that that's probably not in the cards right now.
Nate Lucas, Jock 98.7 out of Springfield, Missouri, part of the Springfield Redbirds radio team, also has a daily show down there. Give us an idea, nightly attendance there, what's typical? And then when a Matt Carpenter shows up, or over the years, if it's Colton Wong or if Molina happens to be down there, what does that do to attendance?
Molina moves the dial more than any other player. There's no question about that. I mean, when Yachty shows up, I mean, that place will be packed. On a nightly basis, I mean, typically speaking, this is pretty universal in minor league baseball. You can guarantee that Monday, Tuesday nights are not going to be well attended. You get into Wednesday, middle of the week, maybe you throw in a promotion. And one of the cool things about Springfield is that they're owned by St. Louis, so a lot of the St. Louis giveaways are accessible in Springfield. So those Yachty tumblers, things like that, are just like hot items. And, I mean, you would think people show up for the items more so than the games. But that's really beside the point. I would say a nightly attendance, I mean, they're averaging about 4,500 fans. If you haven't been to Hammonds Field, it's a really comfortable setting. I mean, I grew up in St. Louis. My parents still live in St. Louis, so I make it back a ton. And they've flat out told me that they enjoy coming to Springfield because you feel like you're kind of right on top of the action. It's a nice setting. The players are friendly. And it's in double-A baseball, I mean, it's pretty good ball. Like, you're not that far away. I know triple-A and then the big leagues, but you get some really good talent that has passed through, and the Texas League is a unique experience. It's a baseball league that goes back to the 1800s. So a lot of baseball has been played, and they've produced a lot of really strong caliber major leaguers.
And has there been a Mozeliak sighting to watch Dylan Carlson at all?
Yeah. I mean, Mo comes down, I would say, you know, a handful of times per year. and you know, a lot of different rovers pass through, and it's neat. I one guy who I particularly always make a point to catch up with when he comes down is Bob Gephardt. And that story of Gephardt, who hired Mozeliak in 1993 with the Rockies in their expansion year, and now Mo hires him as a senior special advisor. Like, and all these guys communicate. You know, it's a world where you've got a leadership, a trust circle around Mo, and I think he sends these guys because if it's just his eyes, then it's all him. He wants a collective groupthink collaboration to try to make sure that they're not missing on anybody, and I think they do a pretty good job of identifying the players who are going to help the big league club.
Nate the Great was there in Boston when the Blues won the Cup. We got to get that travel budget, Frank. Jock 98.7 with intense hockey coverage for all those Springfield Blues fans. He's all over it. We'll check in down the road.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Pretty right. Glowing review. Dylan Carlson, exciting to talk about. And I think most Cardinal fans said, don't give up Dylan Carlson and Nolan Gorman. Don't do that. We understand that. That's different from saying you got to get somebody. And when you find out, if accurate, that Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill were untouchable or weren't part of a Zach Wheeler deal, that's when you go crazy.
That's a little different. I should offer a correction. Cingrani technically not on the 40-man because he's on the 60-day IL. I forgot about that. So technically not on the 40-man. So look at the bad fam trade for reasons why you can't add a Rosarena.
Bad fam trade, and I wanted to add the lousy Mercado deal.
Yes.
So instead of saying the Mercado trade, now we'll just call it the lousy Mercado deal.
Well, that would be fascinating if Dylan Carlson is here in September. You got to remember that he was ranked like in the teens just like a year ago or 2 years ago. Now it's a unanimous. He's the number one prospect in the organization just ahead of Nolan Gorman. So that would be kind of cool if you saw. In fact, why not do it sooner?
He might need him.
Is there any explanation the organization could give to not put him?
Yeah. Clock. Yeah. Clock. 0% chance he's up this year. Don't want to start that clock. That's why Flaherty wasn't up right away last year. That's why they didn't want to bring up Reyes or Weaver in 2016. It's all about the clock.
What if like the Dexter Fowler slide continues? What would you do about the outfield? I guess you could play Ozuna, Edmund, and Martinez. But boy, it's getting to be tough whether you can play Fowler now even.
Yeah, I think your outfield options are so bad that you're seeing Tommy Edmund play the outfield, and he tells the cat in the pregame, yeah, I think I played it when I was 12 or 13. That's a guy that's being put in the outfield. I haven't played it since I was 12 or 13.
It's like he's not even hitting. Like there's no reason to desperately seek a position for him.
Schnooks, our tour will continue going to Concord Plaza later this month. You can stop by your neighborhood Schnooks. They've got Sugar Fire now featured right there. Load up on
fruits.
So
they have the brisket from Sugar Fire right there?
I think you can, mostly it's cooked too, right? You just take it home to heat up.
We've got to let the Concord Plaza people know we're coming here.
Frank's planning the menu for our late August
that's
visit.
Sugar Fire, wow.
Everything you need at your neighborhood Schnooks. They also sponsor during the prep season our high school athlete of the week. Looking forward to firing that back up. Here is the preps. Get back on the field. Hey, it's the 11 o'clock hour. It's time to fire up. Five for Frank.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, what's the percentage if this season does sort of fade away, that Yadier Molina might get on Instagram and have a rant or maybe direct it towards the franchise that he loves? Do you think there's any percent that Yadi will finally, because he gets frustrated, we know that, and he lets it out in social media.
I don't know. If you're sitting there with four home runs, haven't played in a long time, maybe it'd be better to stay off of Instagram.
I don't know. I'm
really
not
missing this team right now, and it's the Puerto Rican national team from the World Baseball Classic.
I'm missing this guy, and it's Walt Jocketty. I don't know. I can't rule it out because you're getting later in your career. You've always been a part of winning teams. If it's a fourth straight year coming up short, I'm going to put it at 5% that before the season ends.
Yeah, so huge odds.
No, not huge odds.
Okay.
I'll give it. I'm going to go. All right, I'll go 10. Frank, if. And let's just say it's not major, but Kelly Bryant can't play the first game. At that point, do we just say it's true? There is a Mizzou curse that you can't get excited about anybody coming in.
Yeah, if you know,
I mean, Dr. Rick said 3 to 4 weeks is a recovery time for a hamstring strain. He is a running quarterback. You don't want to be doom and gloom. Let's hope that it's fine. He's back soon, but
well, and then they don't even have the transfer was not granted immediate
Robinson
eligibility.
Kid,
yeah,
right. And the Taylor Powell played a little bit last year. But and you don't want to hurry him back, but that's the hamstring. It's not a major devastating injury, but it's one of those nagging. Did you see the video of Contreras when he hurt his hamstring for the Cubs? God, he just like steps out of the box, all of a sudden he's just limping all the way to first. Again, we don't know the severity, but if Kelly Bryant's not there on the field in Wyoming, I think we just officially call it, there is a Mizzou curse. We're not paranoid. We're not babies. It's true. All right, Frank, what's your St. Louis term that you still use, even though it's not the real name? The Post-Dispatch had a list. People still call it Laclede. It's not Laclede Gas anymore. I think 40 is still the number one, isn't it? And you say, hey, grab Highway 40. And then your
nobody says 64.
No, and your friends from out of town are like, what's that? And you're like, you just grab 40. And they're like, what's 40?
40.
40, yes. Nobody says Union Electric unless you're 80 and above for Ameren. That took hold, Ameren. But for a long time, I would say Union Electric. Do you have some St. Louis? You probably do 40, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch.
Let me pull up the list here.
Is there actually a list of...
There's actually a list here, yes. Brian, can you find it? I'm sorry. Still today, it was the real terms. I was just seeing if there's any in our obvious lexicon where we... I think 40 is number one.
I know that...
And Lambert is not officially Lambert. Yes. It's got a longer term title.
You know if something that's kind of make you sound old? And Tuna says it, and I find myself...
That doesn't make Tuna old.
Yeah. Well, he calls it the St. Louis Football Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Kiel Opera House is called Stiefel.
Big Red, we used to call him that, yep. Too.
Yes. This is one, and we greatly appreciate their sponsorship, their title sponsorship, but some of my friends do still call it, is it Riverport or River?
Yes.
As opposed to the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Well, that's a sin.
Yes.
I would say to Hollywood Casino's credit, they've been at it for a while now, and it's taken hold, but for a long time it was, hey, you going out to Riverport?
Yes.
Meeting at River Point?
Other ones.
Verizon Wireless.
Verizon Wireless.
That's what I knew it as.
It was UMB Pavilion for a while.
Poplar Street Bridge, which is now called the Congressman William L. Clay Sr. Bridge.
I wonder how many people know that.
It's also known as the Bernard F. Dickman. They've named it like three times.
The Old Cathedral, which is now the Basilica of St. Louis, King of France.
Definitely Old Cathedral.
Old Cathedral. Everybody
says New
that.
Cathedral, which is called the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis.
What's Lambert's official title? It's
Lambert International?
St. Louis Lambert International Airport.
Yeah.
I think you're close enough.
International?
There.
Yes, because you can get overseas by hopping on a plane here that'll get you to Chicago or Dallas, and then you can go overseas.
This right. Says the boat, and then in parentheses, any casino. People just call it the boat.
Going to the boat, yeah.
St. John's, which is on Mercy Hospital, St. Louis. And then the brewery,
yeah, my
which
mom
is...
will still say, I'm up at St. John's. I'm like, what?
And the brewery, yeah. Which is technically called Anheuser-Busch InBev. And then Kiel or Scotch Raid for Enterprise Center. But I feel like that was more of a seamless transition.
Yeah, the Enterprise, that took hold.
Maybe with winning the cup helped solidify the name.
I think if you're a real ethical sports guy, Frank, we would say we're not mentioning Enterprise Center because we're not getting paid. So if you paid us, of course we would say it. If, true or false, you want to see more of Ryan Helsley. This is the guy they would call up. He'd be with the team, and then they'd send him back down. At this point, isn't it obvious you need more of him until something goes awry?
I know you need him in the bullpen because our starters go 4 and 5 innings, but it'd also be intriguing to see if he could get that start. I don't know if you can save him to the next time that fifth starter's time.
Right, you might need him between now and then.
But, boy, I'd love to see him. Yeah, absolutely. He's got a bulldog mentality, throws really hard. Yeah, I like him.
All right, yes or no? August 6th today, around the panel, are the Cardinals in the playoffs?
Oh, no. Goodness.
There's
way. You're saying dumb question or there's zero
chance? Can you imagine
the
response
to
this?
No way.
They're a half game out of the second wild card spot.
And it was a definitive no. Yeah.
But you look at that, I mean, there's clear issues that they didn't address. And I do believe either Milwaukee or Chicago will just make that second half bump that the Cardinals won't be able to catch. And I think the wild card at that point will be out of play, too.
Well, Milwaukee's not very good.
I think the Cubs are going to win the division. That's not bold. But
so you got to beat either Philly or Washington.
I think the Cardinals, just historically... Things kind of go their way. Like, for years, nothing really worked out for the Blues until finally.
Who's pitching? The fifth day. I think that's the key.
They'll just get by with the hells of the piggybacks. I'm not saying this is an ideal situation. I just have a feeling. I don't know what the Fangraphs is right now. I can see what them being a second wild card, which will just touch off this great debate. Well, we made it back to October. And like, you won 85 games. You were the second wild card. You got bounced in one game. Well, we made it back. I could see that coming. And this huge debate about whether they're a playoff team again or...
41% chance of making the postseason per fan.
What's the Nationals and the Phillies?
Nationals are at 75%. Wow. The Phillies are at 24%. Per fan graph, I mean, the Cardinals have... they'd be the second wild card per the fan graph's postseason odds.
Okay.
Can't you see Mike Schilt getting mad when people say the season was a failure, and he's like, we've made the wild card.
I told you we could do it. I believe in this team.
I think I could see that coming.
Yeah.
They have a 1.3% chance of winning the World Series if you're an optimist of the highest.
Does that seem
order.
A little high? I guess.
There's a chance.
I mean, if he's like talking about Michael Wacha's good stuff last night after he retired 11 hitters, could you imagine how he'll be strutting like a peacock if they make the postseason?
And the wild card, that's going to be the great debate. If you get that second wild card, does that count?
Now, let me throw it at you. Let's say you make the playoffs four straight years in a row, and it's a second wild card, one and done bounce. Or you make the playoffs.
The Pirates and Reds have done.
Or you make a playoffs every 3 or 4 years, but you're, you know, going deep in the DS or making it to the LCS.
Like they used to.
What would you? I mean, I would take the deeper run because it's such a tease at that point to where 4 years you're barely making it in and one and done and out.
It's like the Giants. Well, we don't go every year, but when we do, we win the World Series. Yeah. All right, 5 for Frank, brought to you by our friends at Greenville University. More information at greenville.edu. And for your banking needs, it's Triad Bank. They're in Frontenac, Missouri, right there on Clayton Road, one block west of Lindbergh. You can find them on the web, triadbanking.com. Started in St. Louis in 2005, and that's really the key, because if you're looking to expand your business, you go in, talk about a loan. The decisions are made right here in St. Louis. They don't get on the phone to New York or L.A. All of it done right here. Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank. Stop by and see him, and on the web at triadbanking.com.
Kenny Wallace when we return.